from PRX.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls and friends beyond the binary. It's time for the podcast that asks you to stand with Orlando, that asks you to join with the other listeners of the podcast in completing 70,000 acts of kindness in the coming days to counteract the deep dark night and to show solidarity with our brothers and sisters. It's time for Sleep With Me, the podcast that puts you to sleep. All right, but this is Scoots here. This is where I ask you to, hey, if you think about signing up for Sleep With Me Plus at sleepwithmepodcast.com/plus, with just a few questions. If you're new to the show, just ignore this message. Or if you only listen to Sleep With Me occasionally, or it could be easily replaced by another show, not important. Do you listen to Sleep With Me regularly? Yes. But yeah, does it improve your life in any way at all? And would you miss Sleep With Me if we stopped making it? Like, how much would you be willing to give on an annual basis or a monthly basis to say, hey, go ahead and start that podcast back up? So this is a way of not doing that. I'm asking if the answer to those questions are yes. Yeah, you're a regular listener. Yes, Sleep With Me improves your life. Yes, I could and would pay for the show if it was missing from my life. I'd pay to get it back. Or if you lost it, like you'd say, oh, where has my Sleep With Me podcast gone? Could you help me find it? And this is a reward, whatever, $120. I need my year of Sleep With Me back. Or you would find a way to support the show if you said, well, now I got to put up a poster. If the answers are yes, we're kind of in that place right now, and the whole podcasting industry is in that place more or less, where it's like, hey, I really need you to think about supporting the show right now if the answer is yes to those questions. So we don't have to go through, where has my Sleep With Me podcast gone? Because I don't want that. I love making the show. It does take a team of people to make the show. So think about it. sleepwithmepodcast.com/plus. If you get a lot out of the show and you'd miss it and you'd say, where has my Sleep With Me podcast gone? Sign up for sleepwithmepodcast.com/plus. And I'll thank you. Believe me, I'll send you a video and say thanks. Thanks so much.
Hey, you have only tossing, turning, mind racing, trouble getting to sleep, trouble staying asleep. Welcome. This is Sleep With Me, the podcast that puts you to sleep. We do it a bedtime story. All you need to do is get in bed, turn out the lights and press play. I'm going to do the rest. And what I'm going to do, that was probably the most strung together. I don't usually string those two sentences or sentence fragments. If you love sentence fragments, you're going to love this podcast. I feel like that was just my Rainbow book review imitation, but for a podcast. Why don't they do that for a podcast? I think I'm going to do that. Somebody remind me. But anyway, what I'm going to do is create... I'll come back to that silly stuff. What I'm going to do is create a safe place, where you can set aside whatever's keeping you up at night, where you can breathe, where you can sink into your bed, and ideally where your worries in the day and the future and the past can drip away or drift away, which is what I meant to say. But, you know, if it drips away, at least as long as it's dripping metaphorically, it's not a problem, right? It's that non-metaphorical dripping, you know, you don't want it anywhere in your house, you know, even in your yard. I mean, in California, we got a drought, so it's like no dripping. Or, you know, if you're dripping, you know, you got to collect those drips. But this is a metaphorical drip. Of all those anxieties, I'm going to send my voice across the deep, dark night here. I'm going to use lulling, soothing tones. Dripping meanders, drooping, no doubt I got some drooping metaphors, and it just happens to rhyme, and that was accidental. I have drooping metaphors and droopy drawers. I notice I'm always having to cinch my pants up. I may be waistless, or hipless. I guess I'm hipless. I don't know. I mean, I guess when I got some part of my brain that's already judging. I say, what are you, waistless or hipless? I don't understand why your drawers are dripping. They say, no, they're not dripping, they're drooping. I don't know why I'm having trouble with those. Word mangling, that's another thing we do on this podcast. Well, that's not quite word mangling. I think I might have used something earlier that was a more apt description. Word smushing? No. When you mix up drip and droop, I guess you just got problems. They say, well, maybe you should start sleeping with the Oxford Dictionary under your pillow, and maybe that'll help. I'll be honest with you, I don't think it will. Plus, I got enough books scattered around my bed area and my. So anyway, if you're new here, if you're first time here, your 50th time here, anything under your 300th time here, well, I mean, welcome to everybody. But, you know, let me just try to disorient you, orient you on the disorientation. It's a podcast to take your mind off of stuff, to distract you, ideally, so you know, I don't even need to escort you. But you're almost like your intentional drip away, I guess, like a dripping of a candle. Because that's actually somewhere between the metaphorical drip and the liquid drip in the right temperature room. You know, the candle drips and then it dries on its way down. So I guess kind of like this metaphor is coming to his drooping like my drawers more than dripping. Droopy metaphors, did I say that already? I did say that. What am I trying to do is I'm going to try to be lighthearted. I'm going to tell a story here coming up in a few minutes, but I'll get through this intro first. It'll take me a little while, clearly, you know, because my grasp of the English language is drippy and droopy. And if I had any more, you know, if I had a better grasp, I'd say, you know, it's also delirious, deleterious or some, whatever, one of those words. It could be a little bit delectable. You know, if you're tired, I do try to make it, you know, I don't know, not quite delightful, but I guess they say mildly delectable. You say, well, you can't, you know, if it's delectable, it can't be mildly delectable, Scoots. And I would say you're so right, but in this case, I'm also, I guess I don't even need to be right. I'm mildly correct, too, most of the time. And I say, okay, just kick back. That's the whole idea of the podcast. I'm going to take your mind off of stuff. You could start paying attention, but you say, well, okay, let me just lay this on you. Those mass market crackers. There's a words that haven't been used together, like in such an aggressive way. You say, oh boy, Scoots is getting on his soapbox. He's going to go on a mass market cracker tirade. But I say most of those mass market crackers, you say they're mildly delectable. I mean, let's not argue. I'm sure you've got people. I definitely don't want to get in any trouble here, but I find those golden circular crackers, I guess I could call those delectable at certain moments. And then you have the square, more cracky, you know, even crackier, drier ones. And I'd say with the right topping, those could be delectable as a delivery system. But otherwise, you know, they're a bit dry. The golden ones could be dry too, but I guess they have some delectability to them. But I would say because it's a mass market cracker, I'm not sure what's delivering the delectability. You know, I mean, there's a part of me, yeah, I'm a mass market cracker conspiracy theorist for sure. I mean, listeners from other countries, I don't know, tell me the truth. Like, does your country have more? Is that it for crackers in this country? The mass market crackers, you got the circle one or the other one. And then otherwise you go on to, well, what are you going to get? A stone ground cracker? Fancy you. I mean, is that it? Is our country come to that? I guess it's been that way since I've been alive. You say, well, yeah, you're either putting on the cracker or you're dry as that cracker. I'm trying to buy time here for my brain to catch up. Is there any more? Geez, talk about it. It's not a conspiracy. We have ourselves a cracker market's cornered, to get alliterative about it. Maybe I could write that book. I don't want to use any of the names of the companies. I don't know why I'm paranoid. I've insulted so many companies, or mildly insulted. But Scoots, he's afraid of the great cracker company conspiracy. what did I say? Cornering the cracker market. Scoots on business, cornering the cracker market. How two crackers took over the world. You get Gladwell on the phone. Holy cow, we got your, maybe Friedman. Anybody see if they could get Friedman on the phone? Or maybe even Kai Ryssdal, cornering the cracker market. How two crackers changed history. And then they say, for the worse. That would be, that's why, well, we can't sell it now, Scoots. They say, okay, let's just go with the first one, cornering the cracker market, how two crackers changed the world. And they say, okay, what sources do you have? But they say, well, I can't think of any other, I can think of a lot of other crackers. You know, you got water crackers, your stone ground crackers, your circular dry cracker. Okay, I guess that's it. Graham, I mean, that's a candy or a dessert or Graham-based crackers, not actually a cracker. But am I missing? Oh, wait, okay, I just saw, I see a third cracker now in my brain. The elves make that cracker. It comes in waxed paper. And that cracker is actually a hybrid, I'd say, of the super dry cracker and the golden circular cracker, because that's a light yellowish near gold, but that's the one that comes in the rectangles that you can break into four smaller rectangles. So now I'm mixed up. I can't believe I had three. Am I right, or have I combined? So do we? We have a nation where you can choose between three crackers. But yeah, we got to. I can't think of any other crackers, and I can't think of actually the name of that. So I might be just combining the dry cracker. Am I right? There's like the S cracker that starts with an S. That's the super dry one. And I think that's a square cracker. I think. Maybe I'm wrong. And then we have the cracker that starts with an R. Putting it on. When you go, you will know where your cracker sits. It's the round cracker because you're putting it on. And then there's the third middle cracker, the double rectangle cracker. Green box. I think a green box it comes in. Okay, so anyway, let me get back to the podcast, because if you're new here, that's it. That's the podcast in a nutshell. And they have a cracker aisle. What the hell? Why the hell did you bother? We really have three choices. For home cracker use, now let me just hold the phone before everybody starts jerking their knees. Of course, if you're going to someone's house, you're going to buy the crackers that cost extra $2 a box. You know, the ones with the farmhouse on there. Or, you know, with poppy seeds or whatever. But, you know, if you're going home cracker usage, regular, well, I think at this point, dietitians would say, if you have daily cracker use, holy cow, you know, that's, I guess I don't know. I don't know the nutritional value of a cracker. And that's not even nutritional. I think I just said nudge. Oh boy, so this is the podcast. So here's a couple things you might have learned if you're new here. One, don't got to take me seriously. Don't really got to listen to me. Podcasts can have tangents like that. I sat down to record the podcast. I did not even have crackers on the brain. And we didn't even, you know, go into like other cheese-based crackers where the cheese is part of the cracker or the cheese flavor. That doesn't count. These are non-flavored crackers. And then you get into those orange crackers that you say, what in the heck? Ooh, you know, and those are still around. I bought some the other day. And I said, hey, honey, these will be great for you for snack, you know. Look at how good your dad turned out eating those super orange crackers. But so that's the podcast. It's a little bit of a tangent. You say, okay, he's talking. It's like better. And I would posit, I would challenge. Like the whole time I was thinking about your podcast, it's like he kind of had a point. But tomorrow you'll be like, hey, honey, what was Scoots talking about? Was he seemed mildly irritated. He didn't seem irritated, but he, you know how he gets. So he said, oh, I know how he gets, dear. Well, what was he getting like that about? Remember one time, I think it was dish soap. And another time it was half and half. What was it? I don't know. I don't know what it was, dear. I think it might have been, was it Wonder Bread? And they say, oh, no, he tries not to use brands anymore because he's worried about the, oh, maybe it was a bread-based conspiracy. Yeah, honey, it doesn't sound right, but oh, how rested are we? Oh, yeah, it's a great day today. That's how the podcast, ideally, hey, I'm back. That was a fake testimonial. But ideally, that's how a podcast will go for you. You don't get to take me seriously. You don't really have to listen. But you don't have to fall asleep. I'll be here the rest of the time for the show, another 40, 45 minutes, giving it my all to take your mind off the stuff. So you're under no pressure to listen, no pressure to fall asleep. Just an offering in the deep, dark night. Hopefully, you drift off. Hopefully, you sink in. Hopefully, the past, the future, and anything else that may be weighing on you or distracting you or outside noises, changes, whatever it is, I hope that drips and droops away. And I hope I can help with that. Because I really yearn to help you fall asleep. I appreciate you stopping by. All right, let's get on with the show. Housekeeping. So I want to thank Chris Posterson from Sounds Like an Earful, who does the theme music and who edited this episode. I want to thank Scotty and Jennifer on our artwork. I want to thank Jonathan Mann over at jonathanmann.net. If you want to commission a song from him, he does the lullabies. We have a Facebook group over at sleepwithmepodcast.com/nods, N-O-D-S. And I want to thank Lidlai, Julie C., Jennifer B., Laura, and then our newest moderators, which won't be getting credit because they kind of rotate how I do the intros, but this might be the soonest intro, but the newest moderators, Sarah and Summer. So thank you all. The Facebook group says sleepingpodcast.com/nods. It's just a place for listeners to gather, make friends, talk about sleep stuff if you're up, or just say, hey, what do you think about cat pictures? Are you one of the, you're, what about puppy pictures? And they say, well, that's a poll. Let's poll it. And I'll tell you, it's 100% cuteness. There you go. So, and then we have a subreddit, sleepwithmepodcast.com/reddit. And you see Joe hanging out over there a lot. So I want to thank Joe, and I want to thank Latitude, who was the moderator at the subreddit. And that's it. Let's get on with the show.
Sleep With Me is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com. to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
All right, hey everybody, it's trending Twitter Tuesday here. It's like 6:18 Saturday night or evening. And get Twitter going here. And I was thinking tonight's episode, you know, what we have, I think I have an idea for at least the foundation or the starting point. But let me pause it. I'll take some pictures. I'll be right back with you. I got a picture of today's trends, and it's, I don't know what the date is. It's June, which I guess I'm not, I say it's June? You got to be kidding me. June 4th, Saturday, June 4th, But I was thinking today, I was like, okay, what are we going to record about? And it was a couple of things that have come up. There's someone that's kind of in the zeitgeist around my life. He's Rick Moranis. Because with Max von Sydow, we talked about Strange Brew, the movie. And then Buddy Lauren over at Criminals, she said, oh, and she said, just was thinking about Honey, I Shrunk the Kids and Rick Moranis. I also remember, I think this might have been last year, maybe they were on spring break together, was Steve Martin and Rick Moranis. And I think, I mean, I don't know Steve Martin, but he seems to be like, has very good taste among all his other wonderful qualities. And I say, geez, I already liked Rick Moranis, but if he's Steve Martin's best friend, There must be layers of awesomeness to Rick Moranis that even I'm not aware of as a Rick Moranis fan. And I mean, that's like when you hear people talk about funny people, like, let's see, Stephen Colbert, I think, is one of those people. And I think Steve Carell, that people say when in interviews when they talk about him, they're like, if you think he's funny or brilliant on TV, you should meet him in his real life. I think I've heard that about Jason Bateman, too. But this is a bit about, but then you think, okay, Rick Moranis, Steve Martin chooses to vacation with Rick Moranis. Either that means Rick Moranis is just totally chill. Or, like I said, there's just a bit, wait a second, that means Rick Moranis has like a level 12, you know, awesomeness factor. Or you say, well, maybe they're scoots, maybe they're just friends. I say, okay, well, yeah, I guess so. I mean, Rick Moranis, that's all I, and then with Ghostbusters coming out, I believe that Thor, no, Thor's playing... I wonder who's playing in the new Ghostbusters. I actually have, I like to stay spoiler free from these things. So I just know, I think Thor's in it. And then I think I just know Melissa McCarthy's in it and Kristen Wiig. And then Paul Feig. I think that's, I don't know, that's EI. How do you say EI? I before E. Paul Feig, is that correct? The director of Bridesmaids. And I guess I have to go on a little tangent here, positive tangent, just of my experience. I think I've talked about this before, about Melissa McCarthy and Kristen Wiig and Paul Feig and Bridesmaids for a quick second. And I know that movie was this blockbuster movie, right? But I had not gotten a chance to see it when it came out. And then because it was up for some Oscars or some awards, they released the shooting script or the production company released the script. Maybe it was up for best screenplay. And so before I watched the movie, I read the screenplay probably like 10 times because it's a wonderful read and just hilarious. Like I was reading the screenplay and I talked about one of the most funniest moments if reading a screenplay for me where I fell down laughing was when Kristen Wiig's character says there's a colonial woman churning butter on the wing of the plane. It's just a killer writing, in my opinion. Not killer delivery in a boring podcast. But so I had read the screenplay a bunch of times, and so I had the movie in my mind from reading the screenplay. And then I had the opportunity to see the movie in, like, so I had crafted a movie in my mind. And then I went to see the movie Bridesmaids, and it was so much better than the movie in my mind, particularly with Kristen Wiig and Melissa McCarthy's performances. It was just I don't even know what to say. Like my mind was blown. And it's just such a unique thing because that was the script, I think, that the movie was made on. So it wasn't like there was any deviations except in the delivery of the performances and then the, you know, all of the art in the film. So then you hear some hubbub about, I don't know. I'm really looking forward to the movie. I guess it's my main point. But then I say, well, I'm trying to stay spoiler free. I mean, I can't miss some of the TV spots. I try to, but I haven't watched any trailers online. And unfortunately, it's been a pretty busy with the Game of Thrones. It's tough for me to get out of the house right now. So I haven't seen any. I'm waiting to see the summer blockbusters. I don't know, but then I say, well, who's Rick Moranis? Because Thor is playing a character. I don't know. Who is it? That wasn't Annie Potts that played a... I know it'll come to me. Annie... I don't know. It'll come to me. But I say, well, who's playing Sigourney Weaver and Rick Moranis? Because Rick Moranis played a great role in the first Ghostbusters. So I don't know. I'm looking forward to it. Well, actually, it's a different movie. And they say, okay, is there Rick Moranis cameo in that? And they say, well, I thought you wanted to say spoiler. I say, okay, great. Thank you, brain. Appreciate you keeping me spoiler free, Ghostbusters spoiler free. So then it makes me say, well, okay, Rick Moranis is in my internal zeitgeist. And they say, well, maybe it's not, you know, I say, okay. So then I was thinking about Tim Curry, and we've had these episodes pitching Tim Curry. I said, man, I said, we've been missing, or I've been missing Rick Moranis. And I think I remember him reading that. Maybe this was for another Game of Thrones episode, or maybe it was where I did a little bit of Rick Moranis research, the old Rick Moranis research project, in reading how he kind of stepped away to kind of to take care of his family. They said, well, geez, what if I pitch? And they said, why do you got to pitch people that have stepped out, Scoots? Can't you leave Rick Moranis and Tim Curry alone? And I said, if you love a flower, do you not sniff it? And they say, okay. And I say, so would you rather I pitch them or sniff them? And they say, okay, go ahead and pitch away then. So then I was thinking, I said, okay, well, let me get it. He said, let me cook up some. I said, what should I do first? Come up with ideas to pitch Tim Curry, or just you start pitching him? I said, well, I should probably track him down first. I said, okay. And I said, maybe I got to think about getting a hold of him. It's not like the old days where you could see, you know, and I don't think I'll ever have the power to pick up a phone and say, get Rick Moranis on the phone. And they'd, you know, it would only be if it was a trophy, like, okay, we got Richard Moranis Insurance on the phone. They say, Rick Moranis, the actor, the movie actor. So you see, okay, well, we got to track Rick Moranis down, but I started to think about, I guess I'd say, well, how are we going to pitch him? Because it's like, are we going to go like a Honey, I Shrunk the Kids family movie? Or are we going to go, as you say, one of the things about Rick Moranis's greatness, in my opinion, and I don't know if this is the right, I don't think this is the right level of description to do it justice, but it's like his, I don't think he has a baby face, but he has like a childlike expression that has kind of spanned his career. Like, because I was thinking about Strange Brew, and there's these scenes where he's going through these tests because he's undercover at this institution. I don't know, like, he just has, and he's really good at being goofy or dopey, too. They said, okay, so we need a, and I said, well, does Rick Moranis want something with more gravitas? And I said, gravitas. I said, we'll try to figure out, we'll try to at least get it so I can use it in a sentence before I get in front of Rick Moranis and Rick Moranis's people, gatekeepers, the old Moranis, especially the Moranis gatekeepers. You got to work. I mean, that's another group of people. I mean, the poor people who are the gatekeepers. At least they're good at their jobs. They see me coming, and they don't even need, I guess I like set off like a gatekeeper alarm. Here's a pitch, just in case anybody else is listening. If you're thinking about getting yourself some gatekeepers, and I mean the kind that answer the phone or that are at your office, and you want to test out, they say, well, I don't know if I'm going to go with this gatekeeper, you know, this applicant, you know, go ahead, use my services. We'll work out a fee. Because if I can get through to you, they're probably aren't ready for the job. You say, hey, I'm just calling for John. Well, who's calling? Andrew Ackerman. I got to speak to him about an upcoming project. Okay, what is this regarding? I say, okay, well, let me just take down your info and get back to you. He'll get back to you. And they say, okay, that's the person you want to hire, because they did that well. Because then they just leave me to stew in my own thoughts. Well, did I just get gatekept? Was I gatekept there? Or is that just my own ineptitude? Or was that just, and they say, well, maybe there's no meaning at all. And I say, well, then that doesn't give me anything to grasp onto for certainty, though, that there's no meaning. And they say, well, that's the certainty. You don't know. And I say, what are you, Buddha? Like I just got gate kept. Okay, let me just, that gives me a lot more certainty. I say, okay, well, it's just, but anyway, just an offering to those of you who might be, you know, looking at gatekeepers. Rick Moranis, let's just start there. Let's do it. I mean, there probably is a place to start. I get on the phone. Okay, so let's play this out here. And so then I headed down to Rick Moranis's place, L.A. I don't know. Maybe he's not in L.A. Maybe he's in someplace like, well, let's just say we find out. Let's say, okay. Maybe he has, I wonder if he has a home office or an office away from home. Home office, we'll say. And then I say, okay, I wonder if he wears a warm-up suit like he does in my imagination from Ghostbusters. But I say, Mr. Moranis, are you in? And I say, excuse me? I'm trying to get a hold of Mr. Moranis. They say, you don't want this. And I say, okay, they got gate kept again. So restart. And they go down to, say, oh, wait, they don't have pay phones anymore. And they say, okay. I say, okay, let's see. I say, maybe just gotta go back to his agent, I guess. And I say, yeah. Well, I say, no, there's not that many agencies. They all know that, you know, their gatekeepers are aware of me. You know, ever since the great Tim Curry, you know, Tim Curry episodes, that did me in. So how do I get a hold of Rick Moranis? I had to come up with some sort of way to get past his, well, he's his own gatekeeper. There's your pitch right there. And say, okay, press this. Good afternoon, Mr. Moranis. This is Kyle Moranis. Hey, really, that's a perfect name for you. Is your father home? Oh, it's you. Okay. Yes. Good afternoon, Ms. Moranis. My name is, I'm here. I'm with UFC 199. So, well, what's UFC 199? Well, 199 is the number of satisfied customers we've had, sir. We offer a gatekeeping service. I notice you have a gate that I, you know, haven't been buzzed in on. You're directly responding. And, you know, with things moving to the cloud these days in app form, you know, so easy to be accessed by the cloud and, you know, with your convenience, because I know you're clearly busy, but don't worry, sir, you don't need to disconnect. I'll be very brief. We're the, I'm here on the behest of the United Fan Corporation. We do. We used to make fans, believe it or not. Yes, sir. Our founder, Justin Braun Sr., was a fan maker, but his son, Justin Braun Jr., he was a paper, yep, that was the paper towels were based on him, Mr. But I'm here to talk to you about gatekeeping, Mr. Moranis. Oh, what do I really want? I just want to pitch you a movie. I miss you, actually. I'm a totally normal, well, come on in. Oh, wow. Okay. How does this gate open? Towards me or away from me? Oh, I missed it when you buzzed it, Mr. Moranis. Please give me another chance to be buzzed in. Okay. I got nervous there. Oh, I forgot to press the button. Mr. Moranis, it's me again. I get nervous there. Oh, you're just going to, okay, one more try. Oh, my hand, you know what, Mr. Moranis, my arm jerked to the door back closed because I'm a little panicky. You're going to come out. Oh, hey. Hey, Mr. Moranis, how you doing? Good to see you, too. Yeah, I'm Scoots. You could call me Scoots. It's that short for Scooter. That's my name. I mean, that's my pitching name, Mr. Moranis. I mean, I was here to pitch you on a movie. Oh, project. You're right. Nowadays, you got to call it a project. You're right, Mr. Moranis. Call you Rick. Whoa. Maybe that's the problem. Okay, maybe I need to breathe and calm down. Yeah, I'm just, it's rare that I'm in the presence of greatness, Mr. Moranis. So It's straight, you know, I'm already, normally I'm like this anyway. It's just, you know, sure, come in the house. You want me to take my shoes off? You don't care. I think I will, maybe I will, maybe I won't. Should I take my shoes off? What would I like to drink? So, do you have any sparkling water? Oh, terrific. So, man, you look so friendly. Do you mind me just saying that? I said, because I was thinking about you in movies and how it's always nice to see you. When you see, you're like one of those people on the screen. When I say, you know, like John Goodman's someone I think of recently. You say, oh, John Goodman's in this. That's terrific. And, you know, it's not just that he lifts the entire film up. Like you think about Argo. Is just one example. To be honest, Mr. Moranis, I miss you. And I know other people miss you. I hear from people. They say, we miss Rick Moranis. And I'm not trying to put any pressure on you. I don't know if you miss it. Or being missed is enough. But, you know, I say, okay, start from the beginning. Okay, well, I've been trying to pitch Tim Curry on some projects, Mr. Moranis, and I realize that I don't have any experience. I'm not looking for millions of dollars. Not looking for even, I mean, credit would be nice. I have a lot of questions and I have all these ideas and they tend to come out and then I tend to go like this and then I go like that. But then if it's a sleep podcast, I slow it down. Yeah, I do the sleep podcast. It puts people to sleep. That's what you should, right? Yeah, it's a sleep podcast. It should put people to sleep. Exactly, Mr. Moranis. So pitch you. Okay. Well, yeah. So I was thinking I missed Tim Curry. So yeah, did I pitch Tim Curry first before you? Not today, months ago. So I was thinking, what do you think about getting back into a new project eventually? Like the Wright project, like the Wright brothers. So what about that? What's my angle on the Wright brothers? I don't know. That just popped in my head. Is this OVO Sound Radio you're playing? Like, I didn't know you were into Drake. Yeah. I mean, I'm not surprised, like, because you just seem so cool. You want to go sit by the pool? Of course I do. I don't know, like, you know, I guess, like, I'm thinking, you know, if I was going to give you my honest opinion, Mr. Moranis, I'd say don't just make something based on what's trending today. Juice Man video, like that might be trending today, but they say you don't want to just run with that because it's trending. But think about something like the Juice Man. Remember they had that Juice Man with the juice makers? Like, what if we do something? I don't know, Mr. Moranis. What if we did something? It doesn't have to be Rick Moranis, but if it could be someone like Rick Moranis, a comedy star, maybe someone that's a little bit, like, instead of choosing to leave and choosing to invest your time here with your family or just whatever your path you took, let's put that path aside and let's move to the world of fiction. You're right, Mr. Moranis. I need to calm down. This is about as calm as I get, I'll be honest with you. Wait, you want to get in the pool and talk in the pool? You think it'll chill me out? Maybe. Okay. Yeah, I'll just get into my shorts. That's now. You have tons of clean new swim trunks for guests. You know, wow. Okay, well, I'll just go in the bungalow and change. When I come out of the bungalow, will I still be considered a guest or will I be you know, in the act of leaving for, you know, not being here? So, no, okay. Okay, I'll do some extra breathing in the bungalow for sure. Okay, I'll be right back. Don't contact any authorities while I'm gone. Okay, I'm here in the bungalow. trying not to freak out, but I'm getting in the pool with Rick Moranis to talk projects. We're listening to Drake. He just turned it down, though. Okay, I'm putting on, there's a selection of Trunks here. This is like, I feel like I'm on Entourage, but with Rick Moranis. And I think I have a project to pitch him already, loosely based on another project I had thought of. Okay. Which Trunks should, which ones? Oh, maybe the ones that fit. Okay, so I'll put these on. These are nice green floral print. Okay, should I go on with my shirt off or on? What about sunscreen? Oh, there's sunscreen in here. I guess I'll slather sunscreen everywhere. And then, you know, that'll make me look even more buffoon-like. Oh, yeah. You're listening from the outside, Mr. Moranis. Yeah, I'm just talking to myself, trying to calm myself down. Oh, you were going to recommend I put on sunscreen. Thanks, man. Okay, I'm going back out there because if I stay in here, I'll just stay here all day. Freaking out until then I'm not. Okay, hey, Mr. Heyman, thanks for the Trunks. How's this work? Because I have never been in this Hollywood situation where I can take the Trunks or I can leave the Trunks. Okay, great. What would you do if I left the Trunks? Throw them in the garbage or you say, don't worry about it. Okay, I won't worry about it. I'm not worried about it one bit at all. In the pool. I mean, this is going to take our relationship to it. Yes, you will rub sunscreen. No, you got spray. Of course, I knew you were. Yeah, I wouldn't expect you to rub sunscreen on me. I mean, that would just be too fast, right? See, so I'm not freaking out at all. Freaking out about a sunburn that I won't have because you're spraying my back. When I need to spray yours, great. Totally not freaking out about this. All right, so where were we? You said you had you a juice man. Okay, so let's just think about this, Mr. Moranis. Let me think. You know, there's the Will It Blend. There used to be the Juice Man and Juice Man, Juice Jane. You remember those? I don't know if that was Jack Lane or somebody else. But you have Will It Blend, like those are kind of viral videos, right? And then I don't know what this trending Juice Man video is. Probably something different. But I was thinking about someone that's like, they're getting their, like they're beyond making their return. And I think I've seen a couple of people and I say, oh boy, like they're doing an infomercial and not even in a judgment way. Just like, I'll be honest with Ms. Moranis, I'm a sober person. So then I always think, man, like I don't, I'm never in a position to judge, right? Yeah, because they say, "Whoa, it kind of makes me worry. Like it makes me extra worried for people sometimes." Yeah, I'm starting to freak out. You're right. But I was thinking, yeah, just concentrate on the pitch. You got it. Your agent's on speakerphone. Okay. Like after that weird thing I just did about that, don't worry. Okay. So, yeah, I am. Stick, look at you. Yeah, you relax me. You do. Maybe we should just market like a Rick Moranis gif where people just see you and then it just chills, makes them smile. Like a Rick Moranis gif, make you smile. Do you call it a gif or a gif? Because I just call it a gif. And they say, well, maybe it sounds cooler if I call it a gif. Don't worry, I won't pee in the pool. I know you didn't ask that, but I think when I said GIF, you might have thought I was peeing in the pool. I was not. Anyway, sorry, agent. Okay, so back to the pitch. Like someone that's doing, what about a movie about you where you're down and I think down and out's a little too extreme a word. Because I think it would have to be more intense than that. I would say reborn in the furious fundamentalism of some infomercial-like product, like juicing or a juice man or something like that, where you're suddenly, you've been out of the public eye or on the edge of the public eye or you know, public aware, but you haven't been working in the public eye. We'll say that, okay? And people say, well, you wonder what's going on, you know, and then you say, well, is it age? Is it opportunity? Is it just not interested? I don't know if we do that as an exposition. I'm just thinking out loud, this is all, you know, open blue sky. But then it starts with, or, okay, not starts, you're right, we just go with what I'm feeling. It's this, you're furiously interested in this juicing. We'll just use that. And you're partnered with one of these companies, like something similar to like a Will It Juice. But I don't know. I think that's a little too, we could do something more creative. I haven't thought of it yet. And boom, you're on the scene. You're making it, but it's also kind of like a hit a little bit, but a viral hit where it's like, oh boy, how's this going to go? But because part of it is just your overwhelming enthusiasm for it. And I think, you know, that's kind of like one of your, like on the extreme end of one of your strong suits that maybe hasn't been tapped in a while. You know, kind of like if Wayne Szalinski had me for a kid and then I had 30 cups of coffee, but with you doing the, you know, the heavy lifting, the acting. Okay, so what's the conflict? You're right. What's the issue? I would say, I mean, it could be something like, I mean, it could go rival, because right now you get the Vitamix and then the Will It Blend company. So something like Hy-Vee Pure, like your companies, like the Henry Alexander International, we'll say, and then your rival juicing company is, what's that called, Ronco, Popiel Enterprises, registered or something, and they say we could get some Ron Popiel. But then that kind of feels like, that doesn't feel like it'd be like, I don't know, that feels too, I don't know, I want it to be more, I'm thinking that it would be, you know, gravitas, what that means, Mr. Moranis, you shrug your shoulders, that's the same thing. I don't know what it means, really. But I think I want, it's not like I'm saying, oh, we got to redo Rick Moranis or that. You know what I'm saying? Is that I love you and not in a strange show up at your house and get in your pool and ask you to put sunscreen on my back way while I wear your swim trunks and wonder what you're going to do with them after I leave. More like I say, geez, I really like seeing Rick Moranis and he makes me laugh and makes me feel good. But again, now you know what you do know what I mean. That's why you let me in the house. Totally. I can't believe how good this is going. Okay, don't stop. Okay, because when I stop, I start to think, you're right. Maybe you could be, do you do any life coaching? I need more than a life coach. You said that for correct, Mr. Moranis. You know, I don't know. I say, I don't know. I guess like, so if we don't go with something obvious, like the old rival corporation thing, what if you're so like, what if they're okay? So usually juicing, right? It's kind of this counterpoint, like this extreme excuse, like a fix for nutrition, right? It's going to get all these nutrients to you and it's going to correct the opposite end of the unhealthy end of poor nutrition. And it's going to do it in this efficient way. And it's going to give us certainty. I got problems with needing certainty. I certainly do. You're right. So, like, what if you, like, so I think that would already, the audience would already know that, right? And so we don't have to kind of spend any time with you worrying about nutrition or coming back from an unhealthy thing. Like the audience's imagination can kind of put that in, and even any kind of messaging, like thematically, I think we just leave that there. Like you're just obsessed with juicing now. You bought a juicing company and you're all about it. And and they say, you know, maybe even there's, I mean, we could even do like, is Rick Moranis, has he lost his mind? Is he losing his money? You know, is the juice man juiced? So, And maybe there's even like, but I think then all of a sudden in the movie, what happens is that there's a real health crisis beyond nutrition, because we're fictionalizing it, right? And maybe not even in a comedic way, that all of a sudden there's this real health crisis. And maybe, I don't know how we get to like the meat of the conflict, but that somehow you're convinced that the juicing is going to stave off this conflict, this health crisis. We'll call it Pollack, P-O-L-A-K, Pollack, the Pollack. And then I say, well, the Pollack's coming out of nowhere. And you say, well, this blend of ginger and garlic and grass or whatever, and it's free. The solution is free. And then suddenly it seems to be working. I think that's the kind of thing. And when we have two elements there, you know, but you say, okay, what's funny about that? You're right. What's funny about a good crisis? You're right. I mean, it could turn people into pollock, like pollock's a fish we in Syracuse we eat. No, it's haddock. I guess pollock's a fish. So that's the artificial crab or whatever. Yeah, because you're right. If it's just like a Richard, I don't want you to be a Richard Simmons. But maybe there is an element there that, I mean, there is that funny, sad thing. I mean, could it be that, like, okay, that's why we're working together. You're right. So maybe you're the juice man, kind of like that. We have a giant plot problem. You're right. It's almost as giant as your pool. I mean, what if it's, how about, what if it's about aging instead? I think maybe that's it. If we could find a way to do it about aging, like all of a sudden you're getting all these other celebrities juicing. Maybe it's not just an infomercial. Maybe it's like a home and garden show. Like you make the jump from infomercial to home and garden star. And okay, you're right though. We don't have a meet. You're right. We have, but you like where we're at right now. I'm just thinking a theme about aging. I've always been interested in it. And I think it's important that it hasn't really been addressed. I've written something about it. But I don't think this is that it fits you. I mean, you could be in that movie. But it wouldn't be a role worthy of that. You'd just play a father. You'd only be in it for about 4 minutes. Yeah. So yeah, that doesn't work. But I'm thinking like you start traveling. Yeah, a health crisis is aging. We get some stars. And yeah, we're getting two level Strange Brew 2. What about something like that? Like a Strange Brew 2, the juice man bid the juice man to do. I mean, then we could go back to the original idea with competing companies, and Dave could run the other company. But I don't know if that would be good either, just because I'm not feeling that. Neither are you. Good. And what temperature is this pool? This is the most comfortable pool I've ever been in. Okay, yeah, keep going because your agent's still listening. Okay, are you sure? Because it's really dragging. I'm really struggling to get, you know, I usually don't have, even with Tim Curry. Calm down, I'm freaking out again. You're right, Tim. That was embarrassing. I'm sorry, Mr. Miranis. I just called you Tim Curry. Oh, you take it as a compliment? Good, because that's... Okay, what about Tim Curry? Usually, Tim Curry is a villain, like when I'm pitching him, or a mysterious figure. What if we pick it up after the health crisis, Mr. Moranis? Or, like, the health crisis, it's not as serious... Like right away, like I was thinking that it's a false positive. Like you start saying the juice, like your juice formula is the solution, and people think it is, but then it ends up it's only a placebo. or with something environmental. But what if it's paradoxical, like your juicing formula made in your juicer actually, like something like an enzymic level is able to stop the Pollock disease. Okay, not called the Pollock, we'll just call it the Pollock. But no one ever unlocks it. So that would give us, I mean, we're still not there yet, but then that gives us this parallel with your leaving acting in the movie, where it's like you solved this health crisis by accident. So then we get a little Zelensky in there, which everybody loves. You could call the juicer the Zelensky 3000. And you see, well, it doesn't shrink. It kind of, you know, maybe. And maybe that makes it a little more sad that you're even like channeling Wayne Zelensky in the movie. Obviously, clearly, I'm hanging with you. There's nothing sad about you, except for your eyes. I could tell if we get to another level of friendship, you do have sadness, but you get not in the middle of a pitch. You're right, Mr. Moranis. I don't know. I want to say so. We get Tim Curry as Martin Jones. I'm feeling like that name, Martin Jones. Reporter, so then it's exposed that you had no idea, like it was a total accident, like maybe you were claiming that you're patented, but then it's like, okay, you don't really have the answer. You're right. I mean, we're close. You're right. You're really encouraging, Mr. Moranis. So we have the juicing, we have the health crisis solved. But it's a paradox, and either it's a known paradox that you're open about, or it's a hidden one that you're taking credit for. I think we would lose our, I don't want you to become an antagonist, though. I mean, maybe there's something family-driven about this, yeah, that's hitting too close home. I get it, I'm sorry, but maybe there's some sort of family thing in your obsession for juicing is actually you running away, right? Like not only are you running away from your return to acting, but you're running away from this hurt that makes your eyes sad. I'm not trying to make you sad during a pitch. I'm sorry. And you're investing in this certainty, 100% full, wholehearted, at least on the conscious level of juicing. And then suddenly you're seeing your juicing being able to help all these people, but you don't quite understand why. And am I talking about my own life now? I guess so, a little bit. You're right, Mr. Moranis. You are so wise. Whoa, boy, talk about wholly exposed. But let's just keep going. You're right. So, yeah, what is the conflict? Is it that, you can feel the internal conflict, right? It won't get, it's still not going to get you what you really desire because that's not attainable. And how do we movieize it? You're right, Mr. Boy. Could it be something like Martin Jones, Tim Curry's character? Like, you never claim that you know what's happening with the juicing. You just say, okay, it's clearly, it's my juicers. And you start doing it at cost or something. But then something happens where Tim Curry's character, maybe he's a scientist, not a journalist, or a journalist. And, like, you're getting all this praise. But then something happens where, their character... No, I'd like to see you two together in some sort of relationship, maybe antagonistic, but that, they discover, oh, you just eat a slice of ginger and it does the same thing. You don't need Tim Curry's juicer. And that then maybe there's some level of, where you don't ever get any love for what you feel like you see. No, yeah, you're right. I don't know. Let's see what we have. We have Rick Moranis obsessed with juicing. That's what works the best, right? And then we don't have anything else. No, I'm underselling it. We kind of have some other stuff. So, yeah, what else could happen with you juicing? Your agent's got to go. Okay, it's fine. It's not bad, though. You're right. Never get financing. Well, that's his. It's your agent's opinion. Is your agent still on the line? Well, that's the whole way. I actually tell your agent if they need a gatekeeper tester. I'm great at testing gatekeepers. Okay, what if it's that? Like that Tim Kerr, like what if... Like, we have all those things, but someone's still trying to get close to you, okay? Like, either Tim Curry or romantic interests. Like, Tim Curry's your brother. And then the juicing becomes this, like, tool of obstruction for intimacy. I mean, this is the broad thinking. This isn't the plot thinking. And that, you know, you can't overcome... The juicing, they don't buy the juicing, they don't trust it. Maybe that's your brother, Tim Curry, and he's saying, you know, you need to go back to acting. What are you doing with this juicing? Like, he's against the fundamentalism of your juicing. And you're saying, no, this is the new me, this is blah, blah, blah. And maybe there's some sort of role, or maybe they're trying to make... I mean, it wouldn't be Ghostbusters, obviously, but maybe they're trying to remake, maybe we do something like Honey, I Shrunk the Kids, and that they've been waiting to do a remake on you, like a movie so beloved, like Honey, I Shrunk the Kids, that it could be instantly financed, but you've been running out. Maybe Tim Curry was your co-star in that, or the character they're playing, and they need the money, or all those Linsky kids do. And I guess they would get rid of the health crisis part, and we just have the juicing. And maybe it's not going great. Like, maybe you're obsessed with juicing, but it's really not. And they're trying to pull you back into remaking this movie, and you're like, no, 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 this is my thing, the juicing. And then that goes back to the other stuff. It's like, well, you're kind of like a joke, they're trying to say. And you're like, no, I'm not a joke. This is serious. And then that has the impacts of the past, like your obsession with juicing, you know, is a reflection of your pain, maybe. Wow, you're silently listening to me like I know what I'm talking about. Thank you, Mr. Thank you, Rick. And you're just trying to stay. You're staying with the juicing. And they're like, please come back and shoot this Honey, I Shrunk the Kids 4. Breakfast conquers the world. And you're like, no. Meanwhile, maybe your kids, your relationship with your family, your kids is strained because money's tight. And so they're on your case. Like, Dad, why can't you just shoot that movie? They're offering you like $5 million, like, or 10, I don't even know how much you get for a movie, a lot, huh? But let's just say they say 10 million or something. I don't know. And, it'd be nice. Well, just wait. If I had $10 million, I'd give you $20 to see you in a movie. But anyway, and your kids are on your case. So the juicing, you know, okay, you got it with the juicing. I don't know. I need something in my storytelling too for confidence. And so just like it's a, okay, you respect that. But they're trying to pull you into the movie. And then maybe, okay, maybe this is a story of redemption. And then you start to make the movie, like halfway through, you relent. Or maybe that's when you're, if it was the health crisis, then it's say, well, no. It wasn't Zelensky, the Zelensky 5000. It was, because maybe you hold the rights to the movie too. And even we could even have people that care. They say, what are you doing, man? Just make the movie. Why? What's with this juicing? And so then you finally break down to make the movie. And then that's the second half of the movie. The second two thirds, I'd say, like, starts out, it goes bad, of course, goes horrible. You're horrible on set. You're kind of a terrible person at that point. And there's also stuff, give me my, you know, you could be crazy, like the juice, you, the juice for you is a placebo. And you have that Richard Simmons-esque layer of that for you, where you're just kind of, you're not being yourself. Someone, either one of your kids is on the cast, or Tim Curry, like your brother or your agent is, and they spend the whole time genuinely concerned about you and just wanting you back. I guess it's a reflection of my desire to see you again, like the past. And so then the movie goes bad. Then it starts to get good again. And then something happens that reminds you of what started the whole juicing process. And they kind of, you know, and then you kind of go off like with 10 days left in shooting, or you pull, you know, the movie's ready for release and it gets leaked or something embarrassing happens with one of your videos, and then you kind of self-destruct. I think, how's that sound? Too bad your agent hung up. You're right. You'll remember it though. Yeah, I mean, I think that might be it. Am I sure this wasn't just a therapy session for me? I don't know, Mr. Moranis. I just know, I think I just pitched you. What do you think? You'll think about it. Now let's swim. Okay. Do you love water as much as I do? Clearly. Yeah, let's do some swimming and then I'll get off your property. You want me to stay for popsicles? Wow. Wow. Okay. Well, let me just go say good. Okay. I'm going to hang with Tim Moranis. I keep calling him Tim Moranis. I'll talk to you later. Good night.
All right, everybody. This is Scooter. This is Weeks in Review. And this is where I run through my Weeks in Review stuff. What was on Sleep With Me Plus in the past month? And what you can expect to see on in the public feed too. Now I have if you sign up for Sleep With Me Plus, or you're already signed up for Sleep With Me Plus, I highly recommend using a podcast app that allows search within the feeds, but using just one podcast app for Sleep With Me Plus content only, and then keeping your other podcasts, your daytime podcasts, in whatever app you use now. And I would just check out a couple podcast apps you could choose from on Apple are Overcasts, iCatcher, Pocket Casts. And on Android, you could try out Pocket Casts or Podcast Addict. For this example, I have the only thing I have in my app is the Boyfriends level. I have four podcasts, the ad-free full episodes, the story only episodes. Nothing in Sleep With Me Plus has ads except for the really old episodes in the archives. We got the story only versions of the show, the all intro all night versions of the show, and then the bonus episodes. So let's start with the bonus episodes actually. So Saturday, a new Posty episode came out. It was one that Russell loved, and that came out. And that's in the bonus feed. You know, some people like listening to Posty Super Deluxe episodes during the day. Some people sleep to them. And, yeah, so that one is in the bonus feed. And then looks like we got a bonus coming out for Boar Besties and Boar Friends on Thursday of this week, which is April 15th when I'm recording this. And then we have another Posty Super Deluxe came out a couple weeks ago. That was a picnic lunch with Scooter. And that's in the bonus feed. And that makes just so much easier for those of you that don't like automate your playlist or anything, just to kind of build and choose how you want to listen. That's popping the all intro, all night episodes. I know an all-intro episode is coming out this Thursday. Last Thursday was Make Great Pets Season 1 Part 2, almost 6 hours. It's about the max length we can get and have a good file size. So that was like 7 episodes of Make Great Pets. April 3rd, an all-intro episode came out. And then we had... March is at bonus episodes. So there was another all intro episode. So that's in the all intro all night feed. And again, like so much easier, like these all intros. Is that what everything that's in there? 277 episodes split between all. So if you love all intros, I bet 200 of those are all intros. maybe even more. And then in the store, both in the story only episode feed and then in the all ad free feed, let's run through the new episodes. Bring It On week started last week. So we had 12:54 was a first watch along where I watched half of the movie Bring It On. Wednesday was 12:53, Ben Broughton, the Crayon Rambler. That was one of those episodes that had an intro that I said I should make an episode based on this intro. Went to make an episode based on the intro, and it went in an even another direction of what if there was an RPG game based on the movie Bring It On, which led me to figure out I never watched Bring It On. Let me learn more. Then I ended up watching Bring It On. Then April 7th was Alba Sabalik's, like, we're getting ready, big announcement, if I haven't made it anywhere. We're going to do three seasons of a crossover with Alba Sabalik. That's cool. That's something we're looking forward to doing. And, that was episode one of that. That was the one we did originally. Then 12:52 was the finale of The Great British Bake Off. And episode 10... Multiplex 5, Tiki Transistor Hut, that was a good one. 12:50, one of my favorite episodes, probably in the past few years, a Willy Wonka tour that came out of, some news articles about the experience, and I said, this has got to be an episode, and that will be a series, a recurring thing. Great British Bake Off, episode 9, Patissier. And Multiplex episode 4, and then we're back to our last audio news. So it's everything. Again, if you ever need support, support@supercast.com is there to help you. Though if you're listening to this episode, I'm assuming you're not you don't need support. But if you do, and the other thing is this is my main way to communicate. I learned this on Patreon. Most people just don't read their emails from Supercast or from me, and most people aren't on our Discord or follow our social media. And so these messages are how the majority of supporters get their information. I do it in a sleepy voice because there's I put it at the end of the free show too. But this is a kind of key way, but these episodes are easy to skip, especially if you're just using one podcast app, right? And building your playlists from that podcast app. So, thanks everybody for supporting the show. Reach out if you have any feedback at sleepwithmepodcast.com. If you need support at supercast.com. And good night.